Good morning, church. A great, beautiful day out. A nice Mother's Day today, and we have some visitors with us this morning. We're certainly happy to have you and encourage you to hang around and let us get acquainted if we hadn't already. Here in West Texas, we're blessed with the kind of weather that we have. If it don't blow you away one day, or if it blows you one direction, it'll blow you back. But again, it is great to be here. Great to see each one here this morning. And again, we want to honor the mothers that are here. Some of us old folks around have been here for a while, and we get a little forgetful and a little slack in getting acquainted, but if we don't, just come up and slap us on the shoulder. Once again, it's just great to be here and great to have the people that we have here at Sunrise. We have the best variety of young people, our middle age, and this 25% of us old people. But again, it's great. And as we begin the service, let's begin with a prayer. Father, again, we're thankful that we've been permitted to live in this community, that we can come together at meeting times here at Sunrise, that we can come together to worship, to have fellowship one with the other. We're blessed with so many people that are capable of leading our singing, that are capable of making the lessons that are meaningful, and just the fellowship that we have one with the other. Our prayer is those that were unable to be with us this morning, that if their health be failing, that it be improved. We know that your will is much stronger than ours. Now be with us in this service this morning, and as we go on down through the walks of life and guide our footsteps, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, people praise you, lift you up and raise you. Hands, we would bless you as you come. 10,000 tongues. We would bless you with everyone. You are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. Halle, halle, hallelujah. All the glory is to you. You are the Holy One. All the glory is to you. You are the Holy One. You're the one, you're the only one. I'd like to say, Lord, from the start, thank you for breaking through my heart. Thank you for tearing every chain apart. When I was lost, you made a way. You turned the darkest night to day. You are my joy, and Lord, I'd like to say that nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you. When I am weak, my Lord, you're strong, loving me even when I'm wrong. Lord, you are my salvation and my song. Every day I'll make a choice, listening, following your voice. Being with you, I can't help but rejoice. For nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody thrills me like you do. Nobody fills my heart like Jesus. Nobody, Lord, but you. Nobody but you. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the
We'll be reading from Romans this morning, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also attained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from whom, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your church, your kingdom, your people. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather this morning with our family, to worship you, to lift our praises to you. Lord, we just thank you so much for your love. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over us and to help us as we strive to live our lives to please you, knowing that whatever we go through here does not compare to the joy that we have just knowing you and the peace that we have in being your people. Lord, we ask that you continue to be with us, to watch over us. We pray that our worship is pleasing to you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Alleluia. 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 Lord, come quickly. Alleluia. We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger here. Everyone belongs. Finding our forgiveness here, we in turn forgive all wrongs. He joins us here. He breaks the bread. The Lord who pours a cup is risen from the dead. The one we love the most is now our gracious host. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. We are now a family, of which the Lord is head. Though unseen, he meets us here in the breaking of the bread. We'll gather soon where angels sing. We'll see the glory of our Lord and coming King. Now we anticipate the peace for which we wait. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
In the books of the Old Testament, God used the prophets to speak to his people, to speak to his family, to foretell the events that were taking place and to get them on the path back as to the way he wanted his people to follow. And also, he used through his words through the prophets to foretell the events that are about to come. In the book of Isaiah, beginning in chapter 53, out of the 66 chapters that Isaiah wrote, 53 is probably the most stunning of them all. And Isaiah means God of salvation. And in chapter 53, Isaiah illustrates and foretells the coming of Christ and tells about his birth, his life, and his death. And as we read this scripture, I want you to reflect back unto the Gospels of what took place. We know about the birth and the life and most of all the death of Christ. And that's why we are here to celebrate his death as we partake in this communion. But as we read these scriptures, I want you to remember and visualize the events that took place during the Gospels. Isaiah chapter 53. He who has believed our message and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him, but he was despised. He was rejected by all men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, yet we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. For he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and through the Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I'll give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for their transgressions. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings in your word, the life in your word. And at this time, as we partake in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we remember his body that was bruised, that was tortured, that he gave upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. May we partake of this bread in remembrance of him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. For on the cross, he took our sins there, and through his blood, he washed away our sins. From the blood that flowed from his head and from his hands and from his feet and from his side, we are truly blessed and truly thankful. And help us as we partake of this fruit of the vine, remember that great sacrifice of love that he gave on the cross for each one of us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What a blessing it is to have a loving Heavenly Father that takes care of our needs each day. And Lord, we are so thankful for the blessings we receive from you. At this time, may we give back with a cheerful heart what is rightfully thine, that it be used to spread thy kingdom throughout the world, that all mankind can know your love and the peace that you have for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is o'erwhelmed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How can I lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening, a grave in the angry deep. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torments of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Master, the terror is over, the elements sweetly rest. Her sun in the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make a blessed harbor and rest on that blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey thy will. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea, or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey thy will. Peace, peace be still. Jesus, you were all to me. Why did you die on Calvary? O Lamb of God, I fail to see how this could be part of the plan. They say that you're alive again, but I saw death and every sin reach out to claim their darkest wind. How could this be part of the plan? If I could only hold your hand and touch the scars where nails were driven, I would need to feel your side where holy flesh my spear was riven. Then I'd believe, only then I'd believe. Your cruel death was part of a heavenly plan. Holy presence, holy face, a vision filling time and space. Your nearness makes my spirit race. Goodness be part of the plan. I see the wound that caused the crime from heaven, ocean, earth, and sky. When people watch their Savior die, could this be part of the plan? Reaching out to hold your hand and touch the scars where nails were driven. Coming near, I feel your side where holy flesh by spear was riven. Now I believe, Jesus, now I believe. Your cruel death was part of a heavenly plan. I proudly say with blazing pride, you are my Lord and my God.
Today is such a special day. It's a special day in the honor that we share and the honor that we place on those that are closest to us. They really deserve more than one day a year, but we look at our calendar and one day a year we get to recognize someone who has done so much for us, someone that has been there for us. It seems like all of our lives. That's right, today is Dale Hobbs' birthday. And Dale, I know you're hiding back there in the foyer, and so I'd like you to at least show your face. There he is. It's his special day, and since we've all gathered to honor him, I'd like us to sing happy birthday to Dale. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Dale. Happy birthday to you. Dale, we love you. All right. You moms are pretty cool too, so. Yeah, that's true, right? He's been around, seems like, your whole life. Yes, he has. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful. We're grateful for the day. We're grateful for the day because we get to celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And Father, that love and that example and that power guide our steps, empower our lives, and provide all of our needs. Father, we thank you for Dale. We thank you for his service. We thank you for giving him this birthday, and we just ask that you bless him and watch over him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for those women that have done so much, not only for us, but for our kids, for their kids, for your kingdom, Lord. I ask your blessings to be upon them. Father, we know that a mother's love is so special and so powerful. And we're just grateful for all of the awesome things that they do to teach their children about you, to give of themselves daily. I thank you, Father, for all of our moms. And I ask your blessings to be upon them. Father, as we take a look at your word today, I pray that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you put love and joy in our hearts so that we will serve you all the more and better each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Ruth. Ruth is in the Old Testament, right after Judges. Joshua, Judges, Ruth. I'll give you a second. Unless it's a digital search, and then we'll just fly. A mother's love is so amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's the first love that we receive as infants, and even grown up, our moms remain our biggest fan and our greatest supporters. Moms sacrifice their bodies to make room for us in this world, then continue to sacrifice themselves to make sure we have what we need and also to become the people that we're supposed to become. Isn't that amazing about moms? Mom is the one that takes care of everything, and mom is also usually the first one to remind us, hey, that looks out of place. You probably need to fix that. See, kids, those of you that are still getting, you know, a hand licked and your hair rubbed across your forehead, that's what moms do. They put things in place. They fix things. They make sure everything is working just the way it's supposed to be working. Well, that love doesn't stop when we grow up. See, even when we get tall or old, our mom looks at us and sees her children. Our mom looks at her children and sees these little people that God blessed them with. They're grateful every day for the blessing to be able to be called mom. And they work tirelessly. They work tirelessly and do so much. So, I hope I'm not the first, and I definitely won't be the last, but moms, happy Mother's Day, because you are awesome. You are. The work that you do for your family and the work that you do for God's kingdom is so big. So happy Mother's Day to you. In the book of Ruth, we read about Naomi. And Naomi was a mom. And her and her husband and her two sons go to a different land. I mean, they're basically looking for work. There's a famine. There's not a lot of opportunity where they are. It's almost as if they were from Central America and they marched north to find a place to live and work to do. And they got there. They thought, well, good, at least we got a new place to be. And while they're there, Naomi's husband dies. Well, now she's a widow. Now she's a widow and she still has these two sons. And these two sons find women for themselves and they both get married to local girls from the area. And then after a while, both of her sons die. And then Naomi, this widow, this woman who has lost her own family, she looks at these two daughters-in-law and she says, I need to go home and you need to go back to your people. You need to go and make a life for yourself. I have nothing else to give you. It's all been taken away. But I let you go and I free you so that you can go and try to make some semblance out of the rest of your days. And I want us to pick it up in Ruth chapter 1 to see the response that she gets. In Ruth chapter 1 verse 14, They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, and she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. The great love that Naomi had for her family and for even her extended family was rewarded with this great display of loyalty. And as you listen to Ruth's words speaking to her mother-in-law, who could ask for anything more of another human being? "I'm not going to leave you. Wherever life takes you, it takes me. Nothing will separate my loyalty to you except for death. And even then, my body will be laid next to yours. The things that you have taught me, I will not forget. The faith that you have instilled will be mine all the days of my life." Moms, you couldn't ask for anything much more of your kids, could you? No. No. For them to remain loyal. For them to be there for you. For them to take all of your lessons, all of your teaching and your faith and your love, and to continue it on for another generation. Well, they go back. They go back to Naomi's land. Ruth is with her. And Naomi doesn't stop taking care of her. I mean, Ruth herself is a young widow now. And yet Naomi is still going to work to make sure that she gets what she needs. In fact, Naomi helps her find a redeemer. And that's where Boaz comes into the story. Naomi is looking around and she says, "Let's see. Okay, my husband has some relatives and there looks like an eligible bachelor." And so she works things out and she gets Ruth to go and to pick some grains after the grains have been picked. This is what God in His law said, "Hey, don't do a double pass. When you do the harvest, you go through and you pick up once, and anything that falls, that's for the poor. That's for the widows. You leave that for them. You don't clean it all the way up." And so Naomi tells Ruth, she says, "Go to Boaz's field, and when they are going through picking the grains, I want you to go behind and I want you to pick all the grains that you can get for us." And Boaz notices her and asks about her, and he protects her because she is a woman all by herself. And even with a respectable family and a respectable people, that was not necessarily a safe situation. But Boaz says, "Protect her, look out for her, and allow her to gather." Now, the events transpire, and you can read, it's only four chapters. You can go read Ruth this afternoon or this week. But Naomi helps Ruth find a redeemer. And in the end of this story, because Boaz really wasn't the next in line, there was someone else, and so Boaz has to work as well to make sure that it's going to be okay for him to redeem Ruth. But in the end, Boaz does redeem Ruth. He marries her. God blesses them with children. And then at the end of the whole story, God restores Naomi's fortunes. And God brings her through all her pain and suffering and loss and travel. God restores her and makes her a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to think, and I hope that something that we can take from this story, and especially you moms, that the little things that you are doing for your children are going to have a much greater impact than you can imagine on that day when you were taking care of those things. when you show your children love and you meet their needs and you take care of them and you listen to their heartache and you sit up with them when they're sick. And you're always there to open your arms and to be a listening ear. To never turn them away, but to always be there for them. That is such an amazing gift and such an amazing example of love. And even when it feels like maybe your work is not appreciated, or even when it feels like your work has just been a waste of time and years and energy, God will not let your work and service go to waste. And so we see at the end of this story, and I'd like to take a look at Ruth chapter 4. This is after everything has turned out well. Ruth chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer. And may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Mothers, keep loving. Keep serving. Your kids are not always going to say thank you. They're not always going to give you the appreciation and the glory that you deserve. But you keep loving. You keep serving. You keep sacrificing of yourself for the good of others. Because that's what Jesus does. And that's what he allows you to do. Those of us that have not had the privilege to be mothers, the lesson for us, for all of us, is to persevere. Do not give up. No matter what path God takes us down, no matter what circumstances we survive through, no matter what it looks like, how dark, how difficult, how dangerous it seems, do not give up. Because God can take all of our lives, any life, and redeem it. It's what he does. And the amazing thing about God and the frustrating thing about God is he doesn't always plan it out for us, does he? He doesn't always show us, well, this is exactly how I'm going to get you out of this situation. This is exactly where I'm going to bring you to. This is exactly what it's going to look like the rest of your days. No, he calls us to faith. He looks at us and he says, "Look, this is what I know and this is what I tell you. It's all going to work out for good. Trust me." And church, that's our faith. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 29. In Jeremiah chapter 29, the Lord has had to dole out some punishment because his children have not been faithful. I don't know, that may be one of the hardest things for mothers, right? You know, sweet little faces, just do something wrong and it breaks your heart. You have to discipline, punish, or, you know, call the big guns in. In Jeremiah chapter 29, God has had to punish his children. This is the exile. He has allowed the enemy, he has used a godless heathen nation to come in and destroy and to take, to break up families, to take all the best people far away to live in a land of false gods, of foreign gods, different languages. That was Daniel and his story, where he went. Jeremiah and his story is he was one of those not worthy to go, but left with all of those walking through the barren streets, the broken buildings. Well, wondering, well, what do we do now? I mean, God has destroyed our lives, but he's not taken our lives. So here we sit in this mess. God shows up, and in Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 10, he speaks. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So God says to his children, broken, despondent, looking around at their lives and their situation and their cities and their homes and everything that has been taken from them. And if you and I have experienced one tenth of such loss, we know how tempting it is, and we know how quickly we cry out and say, why has God forsaken us? Why has God allowed us to suffer so much pain? It's not fair. I don't deserve this. God, I thought you were good. And God says, you have faith because I have plans for you. You trust me every single day because good is coming. Moms, wouldn't you love to hear God say to you, all right, now look, there's going to be difficult days. You're going to question your sanity. You're going to have to be restrained to give them what they need. But it's all going to work out. Wouldn't you love to hear that? Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? That would. And church, whatever it is that you and I are going through and whatever it is we experience in life, wouldn't you love to hear God say, it's all going to work out? That whatever you face, whatever you suffer, whatever hurts, it's all going to be healed. It's all going to be set straight. It's all going to be made right. And it's all going to be good because my plans for you are good. We would absolutely love to hear that, wouldn't we? We just did. So when we are going through those dark days and those difficult times in our life and we question, is it really worth it? Or we are tempted to say, you know, God, are you really as good or as powerful as I've been led to believe? The answer is yes. Don't turn away from him. Seek his face. Go to him in prayer. Because you can't go to God in prayer and walk away with doubt. When we go to God in prayer, when we come to him with a humble heart and confess to him, and just like Job and Jeremiah and David, and cry out and bring God our brokenness, God fills. God sets right. God fills our hearts and our minds and our souls with his love and his word and his truth and his glory. So that we are reminded once again, almost lost sight of it, but God, you are good. Life right now, I wouldn't call it good. Life right now is kind of hard. But God, you are good, and so I will keep coming back to you. Because church, where are we going to go? If the enemy convinces you to lose your faith in your Father in heaven, where are you going to go to find good? We don't find good in the world. We find temporary distractions. We find ways in which to numb our senses so that we do not have to look face to face into the abyss. But we don't find good. No, we only find good in the Father, because He is the one who holds our lives. He is the one who is going to make all things work out for good according to His good purposes. You know, a mother's love that we see is a reflection of God's love for His children. It's a wonderful example of it. When a child is born, they are loved. And that's the amazing thing of being able to witness a mother's love for her children, is the fact that when that child is born, that child has not done anything to deserve being loved. And yet the amount of love that they are showered with is just beautiful. And that's why we read from Romans chapter 5. Because the Apostle Paul gives us an idea of God's love for us. And three times he says in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for us while we were still weak. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us while we were enemies. In other words, God loves us so much that He did not wait for us to fix everything or get on the right track or offer up anything that we possibly could have atoned for our sins. God loved us so much, He said, I'm going to give you the gift of reconciliation through my Son, Jesus Christ. What do we do with such love? What do we do with such love? Our Father in heaven looks at us and says, I love you. Now, of course, the enemy comes in and the enemy says, you don't deserve to be loved. The enemy comes in and says, no, you're still a sinner. God has no reason to love you. It doesn't make sense. Church, make sure you recognize the voice of the enemy and the voice of your Heavenly Father. Because the voice of the enemy is the father of lies. He's been lying since the beginning. Jesus tells us that. Can't be trusted. So you listen to the voice of your Father in heaven who loves you. Who says, look, you hadn't done anything to deserve my love. And this is what I've done for you. That newborn infant in their mother's arms has not done anything. Except maybe relieve some pressure on the bladder. But they hadn't done anything to deserve love, and yet how much love are they given and shown? Think about all the things that you did for your babies, or are doing for your babies. And you do so with a smile. That you don't hear that crying down the hall at 3 a.m., you don't change another dirty diaper and say, well, seriously, have we not figured this out yet? That was Dad's job. I tried to reason with the boys. 4 months, you guys should have this figured out. But not Mom. Not Mom. Mom's going to pick up the slack. Mom's going to carry what you weren't able to carry for yourself. And so the Apostle Paul says, God loves you so much that what you are not able to do, God is doing for you. That's a powerful love. Church, none of us are able to save ourselves. None of us are able to make ourselves holy. None of us are able to remove our own sins. We must receive the gift of God. We just have to allow ourselves to be loved. That's not always easy, is it? It's not always easy to allow ourselves to be loved because, again, the enemy is telling us all those reasons why we're unlovable. Well, the good news is your Father in heaven looks at you and says, you may think you're unlovable, but you're my child. And so you are loved. Kids, young and old, tell your mama you love them today. They deserve it. Make sure they hear it. Church, the love that God has shown you, make sure you walk in it. Because it's not enough for us to be loved. God is doing all of this so that we will love. In John chapter 13, Jesus looked at his apostles after humbling himself, after washing their feet, and he says, look, I've got a new command for you. I want you to love each other like I loved you. That's how you love one another. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Peter's that kid that just tries so hard and wants to win their affection, and just how many times did he just fall on his face? And Jesus loved him. I mean, Thomas is the one who, oh, well, you must love them more than me because, you know, you revealed yourself, your resurrected form, and I was, you know, going to get lunch, and so what, they your favorite? And Jesus loved Thomas. But Judas wouldn't stick around long enough to even be reconciled to Jesus. And Jesus loved him too. And Jesus says to all those who would follow him, here's my command, that you love one another the way that I love you. What a challenge. To have the faith to know how much God loves us, and then to extend that kind of love to others. That's a powerful thing. It's a pretty big thing too. In fact, I don't know, if y'all could just figure that out this week, you know, just go ahead and perfect it. You got 6 days. I need a day off. Y'all just get it right. Get it right. We won't say it anymore. No, we'll keep on saying it. We'll keep on saying it because we have to hear it. We have to see it. So, know the love of God. Be like Ruth. Be true to your commitments. Be true to your commitment. Every day, draw near to God in prayer. Seek His face. Look, you will see, I'm being nice here, 100 faces on your phone this week. Voluntarily. Some of our younger people will see closer to 1,000 faces on your phones this week. Seek His face. Because He's the only one that has a future for you. And His future is the only one that lasts. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to come. Encounter that love. That love that takes you as a sinner, that takes you in your weakness, that takes you when you were far away and pulls you close to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Experience that love. And if you have experienced that love, if you walk in that love each and every day, then know that it is not supposed to stop with you. That the love of Jesus is supposed to be extended to everyone around you. That may be, I don't know, the most radical part of God's love. It's not the power that He actually loves us, but the fact that His love changes us in such a way that when we look at other people, we are not holding things against them. We are not seeing what Judas did to sell us out. We are not just rubbing our foreheads at how perplexed or how worn out we get with just dealing with Peter. I mean, if I told you once, I told you 1,000 times, Thomas, it's about time. Here, look. Fine. No. No, you put your hand right there, Thomas. You have to see. Here it is. Yeah, we can relate, can't we? If you are a Christian, and I know I'm speaking to most of you are, then let us love like Jesus. Let us love not how we want to love. Let us not be nice this week, church. Let us be Christ. Because there's a big difference between nice and Christ. Church wasn't called to be nice. We're called to be Jesus. Let's do that. Let's do that. If you need to respond this morning, you have the opportunity. Let's stand together and sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my tears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Than when we first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Seated, please. good to be here today. Got a few announcements. We want to remember Brother Robert Parks. His process starts Wednesday.
Consultation.
Okay, we want to remember Robert. Of course, I think Janet is sick this morning with a bad headache. We want to remember her. Cassie Spears' mom is in the hospital. We want to remember her and their family in our prayers. Also remember Rex and Becky Driver. Brother Gary Cash is doing better. We want to remember these. Also the Sanders, I believe they have the stomach bug. The kids do, and Anna Bridges, I think she has a stomach bug also. So we want to remember them. Also, the paper drive for the children's home, I believe we've got till June the 6th on the paper drive. So any paper towels, toilet paper, bring here to the building, and we'll see that it gets distributed there. Also, on the 23rd, which will be 2 weeks from today, we'll have a graduation party for Garrett after services, and we'll have a cookout. Of course, we'll try to stay out of the kitchen area and whatnot, but also have a good time with Garrett. Is there anything else that needs to be brought forward? Ms. Brooke? Okay.
We have an aide that works with us. She's had a miscarriage, and then she delivered a baby, and he died. And he was very good today also. Mm-hmm. And so prayers for April.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, let's pray. Father, we come for you, thanking you for this day that we can gather as children of yours and worship and sing praises unto your great and holy name. Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who you sent, that he died for our sins, that we can live with you eternally in heaven. We pray that you'll be with all those that are sick that are mentioned today, Father, that you watch over them, that you restore their health. Father, we pray that you be with those that are lost loved ones, that you comfort and strengthen them. We pray that you be with the Clary family in shallow water. Please pray that you be with Angel and her family, Father. Father, we just ask that you be with all of us, that you watch over us and continue to bless us. Be with all of our mothers, Father. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.